North Dakota. The pickup truck turned off the interstate and started up a secondary road. "This is the way to the reservation?" Jordan asked. Longyear nodded. "Back road, not the main entrance." Jordan thought. Paul rode to the airport in his uncle's truck and stayed in it while he sent his uncle to find me. "You think they're scanning the area with satellites?" he asked Longyear. The biologist replied, "Could be. No sense aiding and abetting them. That's a term the police use about criminals." His expression bleak, Longyear said. "That's how you're being treated, isn't it? Like a criminal?" "I suppose so," Jordan admitted. The road was reasonably straight as it cut through a heavily wooded area. "I didn't realize there were forests in this region. I thought it was all treeless prairie," said Jordan. "The Great American Desert," said Longyear. "That's what Pike and the other early white explorers called it. Not a tree for hundreds of miles. Plenty of trees now." Waving a hand, Longyear said, "This has all been planted in the past century or so. Climate change has actually helped this area. More rain, warmer winters." Jordan's personal phone buzzed. Automatically, he pulled it from his trousers pocket, then hesitated. "Might be the government," he muttered. "The World Council or the police trying to track me." Longyear smiled grimly. "You're starting to think like a criminal." "A fugitive," Jordan corrected. Then he looked at the phone's screen to see who was calling. "Aditi." Without an instant's hesitation, he clicked the phone on. "Aditi, is it you?"
"Jordan."
Her lovely face beamed at him.
"You're all right." "I'm fine. Forgive me for calling you like this. I didn't call earlier because I was afraid Halleck's security people would trace the call and find out where you are."
Feeling torn between seeing his wife for the first time in days and fearing that the security forces would locate him, Jordan merely repeated,
"You're all right."
Aditi smiled, almost mischievously.
"I heard that you had gotten away from the security guards. Apparently, Halleck is very angry that you broke free."
"Darling, I'm afraid we should cut this call short."
"No need," she said, her smile warming. "I contacted Adri, and he's connected us. Neither the World Council nor anyone else on Earth can intercept this call."
Jordan's jaw sagged open. Recovering, he asked,
"You mean this call is being relayed through New Earth, 8 light-years away?" "No, but we're using a frequency that no one on Earth even knows about. Completely private. Only you and me. Isn't that wonderful?"
"It's wonderful to see your face, Aditi. To hear your voice."
"And to see you, Jordan."
"Where are you?"
"Still in Barcelona. They're keeping me in an underground complex, not far from the World Council's headquarters."
As the truck rolled through the young forest, Jordan and Aditi told each other what they had been going through for the past few days.
"They've scanned your brain?" Jordan asked. "Yes. Adri has arranged for our communications people to educate the technicians here on Earth, but Dr. Frankenheimer still wants to study the communicator in my brain."
"And you're cooperating?"
"I don't have much choice, but it's been painless, and the poor man is really excited to be learning so much."
"I imagine he is," Jordan said, thinking that everyone he and Aditi had met since returning to Earth was trying to gain new knowledge from them. No, not knowledge, he realized. Power. He asked Aditi,
"How can I contact you, dear?"
Her expression sobered.
"I'm afraid you can't. Not unless you want to have the security police locate you. I'm using the frequency that my implanted communicator operates on."
"And Castiglione and the others don't know it?"
"No, they can't detect it."
"All right, then," Jordan said. "But could you please call me at least once every day?"
"Of course," Aditi answered. "Every hour, if I could."
"I miss you, darling."
"And I miss you, Jordan. I hope we can be together soon."
Unconsciously, he nodded. "I'll be working on that, and waiting for your next call."
"I love you, Jordan."
Suddenly realizing that Longyear and his uncle could hear everything the two of them said, Jordan lowered his voice slightly.
"I love you too, Aditi, and I'll be with you as soon as I possibly can." "That will be good."
"It'll be wonderful."
"Yes."
"Goodbye."
"Au revoir."
The phone screen went dark. Jordan stared at it for several silent moments, smiling as he wondered how much French she had picked up. Longyear pointed to a roadside sign that flashed by. 5 more miles and we'll be at the reservation.
Good, said Jordan as he slipped the phone back into his pocket. But he was wondering about his wife being held a captive back in Barcelona. With Castiglione.
Mitchell Thornberry was trying to smile at the three-dimensional image of Anita Halleck hovering across the desk from him. It looked as if the World Council chairwoman was sitting in his office.
Smile, he told himself. Be a jolly old elf.
Halleck was smiling, too, a thin, patently forced curve of her lips.
I see you've got your video feed working again, she was saying.
That I have, said Thornberry.
Was Kel in your office the last time we spoke?
Thornberry hesitated. He had heard of the voice analyzers and scanners that security people used to determine if someone was lying or not.
Why do you ask? He replied.
Kel is a fugitive. We're trying to find him.
Is he a criminal, then?
We want to keep him in protective custody, for his own safety.
There's already been one attempt on his life.
Thornberry forced his smile wider.
Well, then, if you can't find him with all the fine resources you have at your beck and call, then I imagine the crack-brain killers can't find him either.
You think so? That's rather naive, isn't it?
More seriously, Thornberry said, I'm going to appeal to the International Court of Justice to enjoin you from holding Jordan in custody. It's not right. It's an infringement on his freedom.
You'd rather see him assassinated by some fanatic?
I'd rather see him free.
Halleck said, aiding a fugitive is a criminal offense, you know.
Tell that to my lawyers, Thornberry snapped.
If you know where he is, it would be best if you tell me.
And how should I know where he is?
Halleck let her distaste show on her face. Mr. Thornberry, you have become quite wealthy from alien technology, but you're not so powerful that the World Council can't freeze your assets and examine your dealings down to the smallest detail.
You can tell that to my lawyers as well, Thornberry said, snapping his fingers to cut off the phone connection.
Halleck's image disappeared, and Thornberry said to himself,
I'd better speak to my lawyers myself, by God.